subject of whom do we follow? I reckon there is a serious situation that we face every time. There is this situation whereby we call it the crowd manipulation. Crowd manipulation always have the power to influence and control your decision, control your thoughts. That's exactly what happened to Pilate. When a crowd said, "We want Barabbas, we do not want Jesus." And so they listened to the crowd. When the crowd began to shout and say, "Crucify him, crucify him." And so Jesus was crucified. That is what we call the crowd manipulation. But here we have something that we need to make a decision for. Either we follow the cloud or we follow the crowd. Where does the cloud come from? I want you to look into Numbers chapter 9, verse 15 to 23. And I'm going to read it to you. Numbers chapter 9, verse 15 to 23. Open up your Bible if you have. And as I go along in the NIV, I want you to listen very attentively to the scripture right now. Verse 15 says, "On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the covenant law, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening to morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire." That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at His command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. Verse 19, "When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then at His command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening to morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with His command through Moses." Now, after reading the whole passage, there's the repetition of the word, "when the Lord's command they encamp, and when the Lord's command they set out," which means to say, every time when the Lord says, "Pack your bag, let's go," and that's what they're supposed to do. And then if the Lord says, "I'm not going to go anywhere, stay put," and so they stay put. Brothers and sisters, crowds are always there to pull us away from the cloud. And here today, Christians are becoming pop crowd. Why I say pop crowd? Is because they justify their egg, what others would say, "What's wrong with that?" When everybody says, "Not a problem, it's okay, God understands." So we follow the crowd. And then there are people in their 40s, in their 50s and 60s today, I'm afraid, at their age, they even take part in body art, which we call tattooing. Some of us young people may think it's okay to tattoo. Let me give you a revelation today. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28. "You shall not make any cutting in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." Matthew Henry, a great scholar, together with Merrill Unger and Jameson, they said and made this very clear statement that tattoos are forbidden by God. Now, you probably may say, "Well, that is in the Old Testament." Listen very carefully. A lot of people tattoo today because the crowd says it's okay. Nobody knows that tattooing come way back right from history. To be honest with you, the history is associated with paganism. History is also associated with heathen, the occult mysticism, and demonism. Tattooing has never been associated with Christians. In fact, tattoos simply speaks about or reflect the mark of deviancy or rebellion. Tattoos are oftentimes associated with the mark among the criminals, adulterers, traitors, deserters, and the outcast. Why do I say that? Because we got to go back to history to understand what happened to our concept of tattoo today. Right in the ancient Greek and Roman Empire, they only tattoo those slaves. In other words, tattooing is a reflection of slavery and criminals. By the way, Latin word for tattoo simply means stigma. Some of us may say, it's okay. But you see, the whole idea of Roman Empire or the Roman governor tattooing the slavery and the criminal is simply to show it is a mark of disgrace and reproach. But today, everybody says it's a fashion. We talk about the patterns. Oh, what about tattooing the cross? What about tattooing the church? Huh? What about tattooing Jesus' picture? It's nothing to do with patterns or fashions or whatsoever. It has to do with the principles and the meaning behind tattooing. And then the whole idea of tattooing during the Roman Empire, it began to evolve into the 19th centuries. And the 19th centuries, tattooing people or tattooed people are actually meant for the freakish people, and it's always done in a sideshow and circus. I do not know how you're going to imagine tattoo right now. But if you look in the early 19th centuries, you will notice a lot of those people who are in the circus are those who have been tattooed. My encouragement to people today is that don't go along with the crowd just because tattoo makes you look very rugged and macho. The crowd has always tried to tell you what is okay. But do you know the only way to know what is okay is to go back to the Bible? Somebody say amen. And the Bible tells me it's not okay. The crowd has the agenda to get you away from the church and from the will of the Father. And it's so necessary for us to know what the cloud or God is saying. By the way, if you were to listen to the crowd, what if the crowd were to call you a loser? Will you also believe that? If you were to listen to this guy, the crowd, and said, it's okay to tattoo, it's okay to drink, it's okay to smoke, it's okay to take drugs, let's get high. I think we come to a point because there's such a liberalism that families thought it's okay. That's what the crowd says. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible tells me it's wrong. The Bible tells me we need to set a boundary for our families. The Bible says that if the crowd were to tell you a loser, will you then listen to them too? I'm sure you would not. The Lord never say you are a loser. The Lord says you are created fearfully and wonderfully made. Somebody say amen. You were all created beautiful. You were all created to be wise. You were not created to be foolish like what the world described themselves. Look at Exodus. When Moses was in Mount Sinai and he was delayed from coming down, as they define it, late, and the crowd couldn't take that, and they were not patient enough, so they influenced Aaron. They influenced Aaron to build a calf. That's the power of the crowd. That's how crowd can take you away from God. And I want you to understand this thing, that as far as God is concerned, following the crowd and not following the crowd is not an option. It is a commanded word stated right in the scripture. So the Israelites' job is just simply to follow the cloud. When the cloud began to settle there for 2 days or even 1 month or even 1 year, they can't move. They have to stay where they are. It was an imperative move. But the job of the Israelite was just simply to follow, to obey. And that's exactly what the Christian church today must do. Our job is to obey. Obey the word. And I saw the Israelites have three established reasons as to why they followed the Lord. And I want to bring these facts to you and help you to understand the importance of following the Lord or the cloud. And so the three established reasons are stated right here. Number one, follow the cloud because it is a safe place. Follow the cloud because it is a safe place. And listen carefully. The believer themselves knew the only secure place is under the cloud. Be it for 1 month, be it for 2 days, be it for a few weeks, be it for a year. It doesn't matter. As long as you are always under the cloud, you are in a safe place. I want you to realize that in the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verse 8, 19, and to 20, the scripture says this: the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. You remember the story. The Pharaoh decided to go forth and pursue after the Israelites and try to stop them from getting out of the country. So in verse 19, the Bible says, then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. Listen to the word. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. The beautiful thing about this is that throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and brought light to the other side. And neither went near to each other all night long. What a beautiful picture. A beautiful picture of the cloud coming in between, saving the people of God from the enemy of God. The cloud and the pillar of fire was constantly with them, wherever they go during their travels. You know, that reminds me of the scripture in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How many of you know today that wherever you go, God never leaves you? Hallelujah. God never even abandoned you. And that is the beautiful thing. It's not about God abandoning you. It's oftentimes we abandon God. You understand what I'm saying? The scripture tells us God doesn't abandon us. So looking at that point, the only issue that we are concerned is whenever we fail to follow the cloud, we will be left behind. Listen to me. Whenever we fail to follow the cloud, we will be left behind. What does it mean? It simply means that when we are left behind, we become vulnerable and susceptible to any attack. We must always be constantly reminded that where the cloud is, I want to be there. Wherever he goes, I want to be there. Why? Because that is the safest place. I like what Psalmist said in Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 1 to 3 says this: keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say, the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Brothers and sisters, let's face the fact. We all do face some negative people, some negative circumstances. We all do. But the Lord tells me that the psalmist know how to cry out and say, keep me saved, my God, for in you I take refuge. God is always the safest place to be. Whenever we say, God is in this house, this is the safest place to be. When we say, God is with you, this is the safest person to be with. Wherever God is, that is the safest place. You don't want to be in a place where there are too many negative people, too many people who criticized. You don't want to be close to this kind of people where they keep criticizing. Whatever you say, they'll find a way to criticize you. We need to be in God's presence to find our safe zone from such kind of people or even circumstances. We need to be surrounded with the presence of people who fears God. We need to be surrounded under the cloud where the mighty presence of the Lord is there. Look at Psalms 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Somebody say amen. And you look at the word, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. You know, when I saw this whole entire passage, you notice something? It simply speaks about what? It simply tells you, you need to abide in God. You need to dwell in God. He is your secret place. You are under His shadow. You can trust in Him. You can make God your habitation. Brothers and sisters, ultimately, God is the safest place. Somebody say amen. God is the safest place. A beautiful testimony when we just listened to, you know, Maxine sharing about her situation. Some of you may not know the full story of what she went through. And just to reiterate what she said is this. There was detection of cancerous cells in the breast. And that I do not know what you call that, but it was taken out from within. And then later on, the report says she has to go for radiation. But then last Tuesday, she had to go for a follow-up report. And lo and behold, the report says she doesn't need radiation. That's the power. That's the power of God. That's the power where you are always under the cloud. That's the safest place to be in. If you are not in the situation of that kind of problem, you may not feel as much as she does. But I see, because I've seen so many different people with different sicknesses, and we saw the power of God heal them. A few years ago, I had a guy who had a slip disc, and the wife called me up and said, my husband can't turn. You know, he's lying on the bed, he can't turn. And I said, okay. And I went over to the house. And so I went there to his bedroom, and I said, you know what, I'm going to pray for you. And when I pray for you, after that, I'm going to ask you to move your body. You're going to help me out and cooperate with me. Will you do that? He said, yes. So I pray and break the curse of the slip disc. And you know what? I asked him to turn, and he could turn. Turn to one side. He turned with a face a little bit feeling uncomfortable. I said, now turn to the other side. Huh? Turn to the other side? Oh. Then he did his turn again. I said, okay, I'm going to pray one more time, and this time I'm going to ask you to rise up. But Pastor, you sure? I said, did you feel the pain when you turned? He says, no, but I feel a bit tight. I said, great, that's a good news. So now what you're going to do, I'm going to ask you to rise up. So I prayed for him, and he rose up. Praise the Lord. The slip disc was gone. And so God delivered. Why? Because we know the safest place is to be under the cloud. That's where you draw strength. That's where you draw your resources. That's where you draw the power of God upon your life. Now, listen carefully. If God is the safest place, the next thing we need to know, the Israelites follow the cloud simply because this is the cutting edge of the Holy Spirit activity. The cloud rose up and followed where the wind blows. There was the wind of God's glory. And when the wind of God's glory brought the cloud out of the place and went on, the people followed the cloud. Listen, brothers and sisters, we need to live in harmony with God's will. The Bible tells me in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, it says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. The book of Numbers chapter 9 actually tells us that these guys did not just pack their bags just simply because the next day is a new day, or the next day is going to be a barbecue day, or the next day is going to be a picnic day. No, they did not pack their bags just simply for that reason. They packed their bags because the cloud is moving. The wind of God's glory is moving. So they need to move where the activity of the Holy Spirit is active. And I want to challenge you. Remain in a posture of humbleness, submitting yourself to the cutting edge of the Holy Spirit. You know, the work of the Holy Spirit is clearly described in the book of Acts. But before the book of Acts, there was this gospel mug. Gospel mug chapter 16, verse 15 says this. He told the disciples, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. However, as much as the command was given to them, they were not going forth as yet. Why? Because the Lord says in the book of Acts, they need to go to the upper room in Jerusalem and wait for the power from on high. Until they receive the power from on high, then they take hold of this power of baptism that came upon them, and then they were active according to the cutting edge of the Holy Spirit. And you can see from the rest of the book of Acts, the disciples were doing extraordinary work in the midst of the people. What I saw is that the kingdom of God was then established. You know something? When I or you, whoever, follow the activity of the Holy Spirit, you cannot be wasting time or being bored. If people live their Christian life as though it's a boring life, I think you did not get into the cutting edge of the Holy Spirit. A lot of us, when we live our Christian life, we live with boredom because we are not active with the work of the Holy Spirit, but we are active with our own work. So we feel that the entire Christian life is boring just because you're active in your own work and not active in the work of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that Christianity is boring. Christianity is boring because we are not doing anything with the cutting edge of the Holy Spirit. So we need that cutting edge. We need the move. We need the power to move in our hearts. And then you get excited. Amen. I wouldn't get excited if I were to see a lame man and I pray in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he just rise up and walk. Wouldn't you get excited? If your son or daughter is sick and you lay hand and you pray and say, don't worry, God will heal. And God heal. Wouldn't you get excited? Always at the cutting edge. My daughter came back from the camp with stomach ache. She went to the toilet. She said, I got diarrhea. Brian, so absorbed to medical stuff, told my wife, he said, put her in an appointment to see a doctor. And I was lying down there doing my exercise. I said, what is the problem? Oh, I got diarrhea. You know what? Told my wife, cancel the appointment. Just put your hand on your stomach and pray. You'll be all right. By the Lord. Come on. When you are always at the cutting edge of the Holy Spirit, come on, do something about it. Believe and pray. Somebody say amen. Am I saying something right? Believe and pray. Oh, stomach problem, headache. Oh. But we need to follow, brothers and sisters. We need to get to the point. This is where the cloud is. Go forth under the cloud and look at the activity of the Holy Spirit. He can do great things. We need to pray. That's what the Bible says. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. The work of the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, creates a momentum that is always extraordinary. That's why we have in the world today, we have what we call the first great awakening. In fact, there were about 5 to 6 great awakenings. We have the Moravian Community Revival. We have many other revivals, such as the Welsh Revivals. We have the Azusa Street where the Assemblies of God rose up and came from. They have that revival. We have the revival at the Sky. We have many different revivals. We have even the campus revival where the students in the universities stood up and walked forward And there was such a great revival in the entire campus. Today, we don't see a revival. You know why? We never talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. We only talk about what? Well, probably today not too good. I won't do it, you know. Hey, revival time, they don't care what the situation. They go forth because that's the call of God. They go forth, and they want to see revival take place. I want to see revival take place in this church. I want to see revival take place in this land. But how can we do it? We got to seek the Lord tenaciously and pray for the cutting edge of the Holy Spirit to fall down and do great and wonderful things. I'm not saying here because it's Sunday. I'm saying here because every day the Holy Spirit wants to do that work. And I want to challenge you with that because the revival shows me right from the beginning when the power from on high came on the book of Acts chapter 1 and 2. And when the power came, something happened to the disciples. When that began to happen, you see revival after revival. How does it begin? It began when the power of the Holy Spirit came down. Brothers and sisters, how many of us here today received the power of the Holy Spirit, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Are we able to take that cutting edge right now and go forth and believe God to pray? Yes, we may be sick. Yes, we may not be able to do this. But friends, with the cutting edge of the Holy Spirit, things can happen. Things can become possible. What seems impossible to man is possible to God. I want you to see the final reason the Israelites follow the cloud. And we need to follow the direction of the Father. Simply because our steps are divinely guided. Our steps are divinely guided. You know, the Bible tells me that they follow the cloud wherever the cloud leads them. They move to the areas where God makes his dwelling place. Listen carefully, I repeat that. They move to the place where God makes his dwelling place. I want you to imagine that situation. You move where God decides to settle down for that moment itself. I believe the lady by the name of Ruth believes in what she says. Your God will be my God. Where you go, I will go. She saw the revelation of the cloud image. The cloud image is to go where the Lord dwells, and I will settle there. Many of us, we justify our move without literally understand God's movement. Sometimes the cloud led the Israelites in the direction that doesn't seem right, according to our contemporary wisdom. Every time when God moves this way, he said, God, are you sure this is the way? Are you sure this is the right place? Lord, I don't understand because my situation doesn't seem to be very pleasant at this time. Is this the right place? Is this where you want me to be? Listen carefully. I want you to see this truth right here. You see the map right in front of you. This is the whole entire map of their journey. As they began to leave Egypt, they could have gone through straight right to Canaan in this manner. But instead, they had to go this way. Now, that will be a longer road, isn't it? But why did God not allow them to go straight? Because right in between here, there is these warlike Philistines. If these guys here, who just came out from the hands of Pharaoh, and they are fully exhausted, not knowing what to do, and if God were to lead them through, I'm afraid all of them will be swallowed up by the Philistines. You remember we have giants in the Philistines too, isn't it? So what God did was to bring them through this way. It may not seem right to many of us as far as our life is concerned. We sometimes wonder, is this the right path, God, are you bringing me? Is this the right way for me to go? Why don't I go this way? It's much faster, Lord. It will be a shorter period. It's shorter time. I get my things done in a split second. Probably I get my rewards through within a month or a year. Why, Lord, you take me through 3 years or 5 years or even 10 years? Why? Lord, I've been going through for 5 years and my patience is running dry. Lord, what is happening? Why are you taking me through that path? Because you see, you and I do not know. If you were to take the shorter road, you probably may not get anything at all. But the Lord takes you through another road, exactly what he did with the Israelites. Even though it doesn't make sense, but God's divine guidance, as you and I can see, is extraordinarily different from your personal intention. God directing Jacob back to the homeland. As he left that homeland and earned his wealth and then came back, the Lord took him through that whole journey. Listen, he took him through the whole journey and allowed him to enjoy the blessings before he came back. Jacob was a self-made man. He was a deceiver. And God has to train him and use him and teach him what he has deceived his brother is right now being taught in his life. So listen carefully. We all need divine guidance in God's plan. We all need divine guidance in God's plan. Divine guidance is found in God's plan. Every time when you open up God's plan, you get to see his steps. Like, how many of you love DIY stuff? You take stuff, and what do? When you look at the manual, you follow them step by step. Am I right or not? You go from the first picture to the second picture or the third picture. We oftentimes go from the first to the end so that we follow through the instructions. I believe God's plan is very similar. You open up his plan, you get to see his guidance. Are you there with me? Are you there? Same thing with the Bible, brothers and sisters. God's plan is right inside the whole entire book. You need to follow the instructions. Are you there? This is where the cloud is. We need to follow the word. The cloud has a voice. And even during the Mount Transfiguration, the voice came out and said, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." Brothers and sisters, it's very important that we follow the cloud. Sometimes we may not see it necessary. But I give you a very classic thing. If you do not follow the instructions in the manual, you'll never get things done correctly. Refusal to follow the words of God's direction may lead us to an enemy's invasive territory. What happened to Israel and Judah? They failed to follow God's word. And what happened to them? They end up in Assyria and Babylon. The moment we fail to follow through the word of God, we might find ourselves in the territory that is of the enemy. That's why sometimes our thoughts are influenced by the thoughts of the enemy. Be very watchful. Be very watchful. The moment we refuse to follow his word, we find ourselves in deep trouble. Does it make sense? Amen. So I pray today, don't take your Bible and close it and put it on the shelf. My heart desire is to see people follow through the word of God, so that they would not find themselves in that invasive territory. One classic example is Joseph's lives. Joseph was divinely guided right from the beginning, right through his life as a prime minister. He went through a jagged and harsh life from the prison house to the palace. And he spent his rest of his life becoming the spokesman and the right-hand man of Pharaoh. And so, in the process of that, he managed to save God's people from starvation. Brothers and sisters, the road seems to be harsh and jagged. But the Lord took him through that road to prepare him for the right time when his family on the other side of the land suffered famine. And when that thing took place, God, in his own sovereignty, took the family right up to Egypt and discovered the son that they thought, or the brothers, the brother that they thought they lost, is alive. That journey was a spectacular journey. You and I need to know that when we walk through that journey, don't be afraid, because ultimately, at the end of that journey, God wants you to be a greater blessing. Sometimes we thought, why all this trouble that I need to go through? But God wants you to be a greater blessing. He doesn't want you to be a blessing. He wants you to be a greater blessing. And Joseph was a very strong example. There were also examples in the book of Acts when the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. How many of you know that we always go to the expert and then figure out what they say will be a good advice? Sometimes it's not. It's good to find out, but not necessarily they're always right. Because Paul showed me that what he told the centurion did not listen, instead listened to the expert, the pilot, and the owner of the ship. And this is what happened in verse 15 to 20. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Exactly what will come out, hopelessness. When we start to feel walking according to the divine guidance, there is a sense of hopelessness in our heart, the sense of losing the grip of saying, is there a possibility of me getting out? Because we fail to walk according to the divine guidance. Brothers and sisters, the ultimate destination which God destined for all of us comes from His Word. Open up the Bible and follow the instruction, because everything in the Bible is about God's plan. Deuteronomy said very clearly. He says, in spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey by fire by night and in a cloud by day, to search out a place or places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go. God's cloud will always take us to the place where He wants us to be. I believe there is a cloud above this church. Somebody say amen. There is a cloud above this church. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, finally, in verse 1, for I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. I believe when you follow the cloud, you will get there ultimately where God wants you to be. Somebody say amen. Let's bow our hearts together right now.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410 985 432, or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.